The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the first chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, the 29th verse. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." We are all familiar with the story of how on October 31st, 1517, the eve of All Saints' Day, Martin Luther posted his 95 theses on the door of the Castle Church of All Saints in Wittenberg. There was nothing unusual about posting a document on the church door, because in those days, the church door was a kind of bulletin board, rather like a newspaper or the internet, where people who could read would find out what was going on. Luther's theses were a series of propositions for debate among learned theologians, and there was nothing unusual then or now about debates among theologians. The curious thing is that the formal debate on these propositions that Luther wanted to have never took place. But these theses were copied and widely read and discussed, not only by theologians, but by people all over Germany and in many parts of Europe. You might say that they caught fire. And with that began that great movement in church history that we know as the Reformation. So, what was the Reformation all about? Well, we all know that old saying, "A picture is worth a thousand words." A picture is worth a thousand words. And so this morning I want to begin by talking about two pictures which I think express in an unforgettable way what the Reformation was all about. One picture is by the artist Matthias Grünewald, who just about 2 years before Luther posted his theses was made. And the other picture is by the Wittenberg artist Lucas Cranach, who painted his picture just a year after Luther's death. Grünewald painted his picture for a hospital chapel in the village of Isenheim, a village near the French and German border, a hospital which was intended to care for victims of the plague. And so Grünewald portrayed the Savior hanging on the cross, his body covered with numerous hideous sores, suggesting to the patients that the Lord Jesus understands and shares in their afflictions. At the foot of the cross, St. John, the beloved disciple, comforts our Lord's mother, and Mary Magdalene kneels with her hands folded in prayer. But then there's something very surprising in Grünewald's painting, because he not only shows Mary and John and Mary Magdalene, who did stand by the cross of Jesus, he also shows St. John the Baptist standing there, and John, of course, couldn't possibly have been there because he'd already been beheaded by King Herod. So why does Grünewald place John the Baptist in this painting of the crucifixion? The answer to that question is that Grünewald's painting isn't strictly historical. It's rather a kind of visual meditation on the Savior's death. In the very first chapter of his Gospel, St. John the Evangelist tells us that when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And so Grünewald portrays John the Baptist with one very long finger out of all proportion to the rest of his body, and with that very elongated finger, John the Baptist points to the crucified Savior. That's Grünewald's painting. And just 1 year after Luther's death, the Wittenberg artist Lucas Cranach painted a beautiful altarpiece for the parish church of St. Mary in Wittenberg, a painting which can still be seen there to this very day. In the middle of Cranach's painting, we see the crucified Savior, and then on one side, we see the people of Wittenberg. Cranach portrayed Luther's wife and children and various other well-known townspeople of Wittenberg. And then on the other side, we see Dr. Luther in his pulpit, his right hand pointing to the crucified Savior. A picture is worth a thousand words. And both these pictures of Grünewald and Cranach show us what the Reformation was really all about. For in both these pictures, we see St. John the Baptist and Martin Luther pointing not to themselves, not to their own experience of faith, great as that must have been. Instead, they both point to the crucified Savior and to Him alone. That's what the Reformation was really all about. The crucified Savior in whom is all our life and hope. And we can never have too many reminders of the fact that saving faith has nothing to do with ourselves and everything to do with Christ, and that faith itself is God's gift to us, a pure gift of the Holy Spirit, as we learn to say in the Catechism, I believe that I cannot, by my own understanding or effort, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, which is the good news, the good words which point to Christ crucified. Certainty of God's love, certainty of his forgiveness, certainty of salvation is grounded completely outside ourselves, grounded in Christ once crucified and risen from the dead, grounded in the once for all having happenedness of our baptism, in the often spoken word of absolution, and in the frequently received holy mysteries of our Lord's body and blood. There is certainty, there is the ground of hope, not at all in us, but completely in Christ, as we find him, or more accurately, as he finds us, in his sure word of promise, in his holy sacrament. So if you want to know what the Reformation was really all about, remember Grindelwald's painting of St. John the Baptist pointing to the crucified Savior, and Cronach's painting of Dr. Luther pointing to the crucified Savior. These two paintings vividly embody what Dr. Luther says in the 62nd of his 95 theses, that 62nd thesis, which is perhaps the most important one of all. The true treasure of the church is the most holy gospel of the glory and grace of God. The true treasure of the church is the most holy gospel of the glory and grace of God. It's often been said that the difference between the church before the Reformation and after the Reformation can be compared to a garden before and then after it's been weeded. The weeds are gone, but it's still the same garden. And the weeds pulled up through the work of the reformers are everything in the church that had come to obscure the alone saving work of the Savior. In one of his parables, Jesus speaks of how the enemy sows weeds among the wheat. For the enemy of God and man, Satan, the old evil foe, never rests in his efforts to sow weeds among the wheat. And that's why there is this never-ending struggle between God and Satan and his minions, who never rest in their efforts to poison and destroy everything that's good. And our only hope in this struggle, our only stronghold in this struggle, is Christ, Christ, who by his atoning death rescued us from Satan's never-ending efforts to destroy us by ceaselessly accusing us of our sins. Our hope is in Christ, who by his death destroyed death, and who by his rising again won for us everlasting life. As we shall sing in Luther's great hymn at the close of this divine service, with might of ours can naught be done soon where our loss effected. But for us fights the valiant one whom God himself elected. Ask ye, who is this? Jesus Christ it is, of Sabaoth Lord, and there's none other God. He holds the field forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.